You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. I mean, maybe it's not too happy because of what happened on Thursday. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Yesterday ended up being surprisingly busy, which is why I was not able to get to a podcast because it ended up being insane. So much, like I got up relatively early for me and I was doing a little bit of work and I'm like, okay, we're going to be able to, get through, you know, through this. It's going to be a nice, relaxing work day. Didn't end up going that way. Ended up being insane because a couple things happened. One thing wasn't that surprising. One thing, but neither was that surprising per se. But we're going to get into all of it. We got the basketball stuff, which is Isaiah Livers done, Austin Davis done. Basically, every senior except for Eli Brooks is done at Michigan. So we'll discuss the ramifications, particularly of Isaiah Livers moving on, and what that means for Michigan basketball. Obviously, the big news, and we'll get to that in the middle, is about Xavier Worthy transferring. I spoke to someone in the know, the same person who told me, "Hey, he's coming in by fall, right?" I'll tell you what I can, which is not a lot. There's not a lot that I can be like, "Hey, here's what's going on." I was given specifics, but it's just stuff I can't say. But we'll get into it. I'll kind of tell you how I feel about it, and we'll just go from there. So first, let's get into the basketball thing, because that's just not going to be as long. And then we can spend the rest of the time talking about Xavier Worthy. But so obviously, no Isaiah Livers. That sucks. But it's, you know, whatever. Go do your thing, man. I mean, it sucks in the sense of, I think it's a little bit different than the whole, like, well, this guy's not ready, so good luck going undrafted. I think there's a legitimate concern that he could go undrafted. But that's just because he's coming off of injury. And, like, I haven't seen him in any mock drafts or anything that I've seen. So, for me, it's more of a worry, like, hey, with the injury, are you going to end up being in a Charles Matthews-like position? I mean, you assume, though, even if he is, that he'll get to go to the G League. He's very talented. I mean, Charles Matthews was too, but, I mean, I feel like Isaiah Livers could really have a very solid pro career. But for some reason, I don't think he's looked at like that, which is kind of befuddling to me. But nonetheless, I would have liked to seen him come back, but I think that is somewhat of a selfish thing. At the same time, it might be selfish, but it's also partially because, hey, if you could do what Charles Matthews didn't do, which is rehab, come back, and really solidify your draft stock. And I think we talked about that the other day of, like, do you want to take the chance of, you know, it's a gamble. You could make millions by being a guaranteed first rounder. You could potentially make millions as a second rounder. Or you could make whatever you make in the G League. And by coming back, you solidify that opportunity. You still get to, I mean, you're working with John Sanderson. You're working with all these things. You get to accomplish these things that you really wanted to do as far as being able to play in the NCAA tournament, because Livers hasn't gotten to play in the NCAA tournament in a while. But I understand you can only ask guys to stay in college for so long, to be unpaid guys for so long. And you might look at it as like, listen, I'm just ready to join the workforce, essentially, by, you know, whether it's being a second-round draft pick, because I think we can probably agree that he's probably not a first-round draft pick. At least at this juncture, especially with his injury. Will someone take a chance? Make him a first rounder? I doubt it. Will someone take a chance to make him a second rounder? Maybe. And I think he deserves that, but I mean, we saw what happened to Charles Matthews, and that's unfortunate. As far as what happens for Michigan basketball going forward, I think it will be fine. Brandon Johns is probably the heir apparent there. So, I mean, with what they have now, maybe they go and get a maybe they go and get some people from the transfer portal. You assume they're going to try, and you assume that it's going to be a place that people are going to want to play. When you saw what Michigan was able to do, what Juwan Howard's able to do, you have to assume, hey, this is people are going to like what they see and want to be a part of it. But for now, I mean, if I had to guess a starting five, if I had to guess it, which is really difficult, but I would say Eli Brooks is your point guard. Zeb Jackson's next to him. Then I would go, see, is the hard part. Who replaces Franz Wagner? Is Terrence Williams ready to step into that role? Hopefully. Granted, could be Caleb Houston. Or, I mean, it could be Musa Diabate, but I think Musa Diabate is definitely a center. I think he's, what, 6'11"? Those guys might be too talented to take off to keep off the floor. But I'll stick with Terrence Williams, Brandon Johns, and Hunter Dickinson. That would be my guess. No, Franz Wagner is not declared, but you just assume he's going to. He's going to be a first-round pick if he does. I think that's solid. I definitely think that's solid. But, you know, and again, you could sit there and say, all right, maybe there's so many other options, because you could say Frankie Collins could be the one. Eli Brooks could stay at two. Caleb Houston, what do you do with him? Musa Diabate, do you want to get those guys on the court sooner than later? But you still have Zeb Jackson. You still have Terrence Williams. I mean, you still have Jace Howard. These are guys that are coming up. The only ones that I can say for sure are probably starting caliber are three. Unless you want to make Brandon Johns a sixth man, you assume Brandon Johns is a starter. You assume you know that Eli Brooks is a starter. And you assume if Hunter Dickinson comes back, which you definitely think is going to happen. All the mocks I see with Luka Garza are in the late first round. So if you're Hunter Dickinson, you stick around, right? But those would be the three that I'm like, absolutely, you get them in one way or another. Outside of that, lots of opportunities. All right, that's going to be the basketball talk for us. We're going to move on. Anyway, betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, they're in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It's free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get to the bigger news. Xavier Worthy. And then at the end, if we still have time, we'll talk a little bit about what Matt Weiss said on the In the Trenches podcast. But Xavier Worthy transferred out, or is going to transfer out, or being released from his national letter of intent. That's what he's requesting. While I'm sure Michigan will give it to him, I'll put it this way. I don't think they should. Well, they should for him. Let me just say two things, a couple different things here. So it's the same. I talked to the same person that I talked to before, who said, "Listen, he's going to be here." That if I told you who that person is, not one of you would question it. The news, right? Because there's always people when there's stuff like that, and I've talked to you about the concept of being too close to the things. But there's always going to be people that look at whatever and they say, oh, I could have told you this was going to happen. This is not a surprise. And yeah, maybe in some degree, if you're reading the tea leaves to some degree, you say, okay, like I have a 30,000 foot view. Maybe that's the case. But to me, it was mostly pessimism surrounding the program, because you can sit there and say, hey, it was going to happen. But it wasn't going to happen. It's just an unfortunate confluence of events that got Michigan to this place. Number one is the fact that he wasn't able to enroll early. And before everyone starts going and spamming Michigan admissions, because he was admitted to Michigan, let me just say that enrolling early was going to be an uphill battle, just given what I know. It was not, it you can sit there and say, hey, I wanted to enroll early. It's not always that easy. And it's not the football program's fault. Before you listen to the people that say that it's a culture problem and all of that, whatever. It's not even fully admissions' fault, based off of what I was told. So that keeps him away, which is, that gives you an opening. But the problem is he's still signed to Michigan. And I'm going to say this as gingerly as I can. Without a payment from another school being involved, I do believe that there was some kind of nefarious action that has caused Worthy to separate from Michigan outside of what's happening in Ann Arbor. So take that as you will. But I do not think that everything involving him outside of Michigan is on the up and up. So that's what I've heard. Again, I can't give you specifics. I mean, I could, but I won't give you specifics. And it is what it is, unfortunately. That's the best thing I can tell you, is it is what it is. It's incredibly unfortunate. I don't think it's fair or right. And I think you're dealing with impressionable youth, especially when things don't go the way you hope, as far as wanting to get into school early. Now, if there's a position that Michigan could afford to lose yet another big player, there's two positions that I'm like, all right, they're fine. Right now, it's wide receiver, because Xavier Worthy wasn't going to be a starter this year. So short term, long term, it sucks more, of course, because you expected him to be a star, a stud. And now everyone's going to watch what he does in his career when he presumably ends up at Texas and have that big what if. Unfortunately. But when it comes to freshmen, you still have Andrell Anthony and Christian Dixon. Dixon's very similar to Worthy in a lot of ways. Also extremely fast. Andrell is a guy that has been raved about by Harbaugh. He's a guy that Michigan has long desired. Even when it seemed like maybe Michigan wasn't that big on him, they were, right? Michigan really, really wanted Andrell Anthony. And from everything I've heard, he's done really well in spring ball. For this year, you still have Ronnie Bell. You lost Giles Jackson, but you still have Mike Sanders still. Very similar players. You still have your Nico Collins type in Cornelius Johnson. And you still have A.J. Henning and Roman Wilson. Is the group as deep as Josh Gattis would like it? No. Do you still have a lot to work with? And absolutely. I still think the room is super deep. The only other position group on the entire team that I feel like could stand any kind of attrition at this point, before it was running back, I felt like subtraction equals addition, in the sense of you're bringing in Donovan Edwards. Like, how are you going to continue to do the rotation the way you did before? The only other position is offensive line, because I feel like they've got eight guys who could play right now on the offensive line. Andrew Stuber, Ryan Hayes, Andrew Vastardis, Chuck Filiaga, Trevor Keegan, Zach Zinter. Who am I missing? Willie Allen. I'm sure there's a couple others I'm just forgetting right now. they have a lot. I mean, Nolan Rumler, Trent A. Jones, they've got a lot of guys that should be their time. So that's the only other position I feel that could withstand some attrition. But wide receiver is number one to me. Sucks. Like I said, we're going to be watching what he does at presumably Texas. And it'll be what it is. So we'll see what happens from there. Let's talk a little bit about what Matt Weiss had to say in the Trenches podcast here momentarily. But before we do, I got to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I just deposited some money in my bank account today, so I really need to order more Built Bar. I think I'm going to do that today. If not today, sometime here this weekend, because y'all know how much I love Built Bar. And there's so many amazing flavors out there. I need to get me some cookies and cream. They've got the Built Bar Bites that are incredible. The peanut butter brownie was, when I had that, I was like, this is incredible. That's probably the flavor I'm going to get. If you don't know about Built Bar, it's a protein bar that's low calorie, low carb, high protein. Y'all know I go two at a time, and we're still under the calorie limit compared to the types of protein bars that are out there on the market. And guess what? They're delicious. They taste like a candy bar. I have bought so many boxes. I'm telling you. Go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off that next order. I put my money where my mouth is so many times. I don't like not having any in my own personal inventory. But they are incredibly delicious and healthy, and it's everything you want out of a protein bar. So BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. All right, so let's finish out just a couple minutes digesting some of the things that Matt Weiss said last couple days here. Lots of love for Jim Harbaugh. Obviously made the switch just like Mike McDonald did from John to Jim. Keep in mind, Weiss has worked with Jim before at Stanford. And then he's worked his entire professional career with John. Now, if you've worked with both, I think that it's a pretty good situation where it's like, hey, he wants to go and work again for Jim. Because there's a lot of people out there that are acting like Jim Harbaugh can't coach. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. Just because things haven't looked good, there's a lot of things that have happened, right, that have held Michigan back. Some in his control, some not in his control. And it's one of those things where I think that, and I said this on the M Zone earlier today, I feel like he's done a lot of those things that people say, like, hey, he's stubborn. He doesn't want to change. Honestly, all he's done is change since he's been in Ann Arbor. There's been change after change after change. Completely different offense, completely different defenses. It's been a lot of change. It's just unfortunate that some of it hasn't worked out. I mean, it took a couple years going from Jed Fish to Pep Hamilton. It took immediate, actually, going from DJ Durkin to Don Brown, but then that just slowly fell off. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know the reason why. One of the reasons why. Now you've got, you know, it's been a couple years of Josh Gattis. Hasn't quite worked out, but feels like it could break out at any point. We'll see how Mike McDonald and all of that works. A lot of talent. And here's the thing about Matt Weiss and Mike McDonald. This is actually kind of my big point. You always see people out there with a narrative of, with Mike McDonald in particular, it's like, hey, this guy was a linebacker's coach. He's never coached a defense. He's never called a defensive play. But then when you look at a lot of these guys that are out there in pro football, talking pro football, now, using the Detroit Lions is probably not a good barometer, but like they just hired Dan Campbell, a tight ends coach, to be the head coach. Yeah, sometimes you see a guy go from assistant to head coach. That happens. Not often, but it happens. You look at a guy like Sean McVay. He went from a tight ends coach with the Redskins to offensive coordinator with the Redskins, back when they were called that. You look at Matt LaFleur. Got a, you know, went from assistant position to coordinator position before becoming the head coach of the Packers. When you think of the Ravens, there are two things you think about when you think of the Ravens' success. Well, three things. Well, two things kind of, but two and a half. Defense. What specifically on defense? Linebackers. And dynamic, explosive offense led by Lamar Jackson. Now, with that dynamic, explosive offense with Lamar Jackson, you think of the run game. And you think about the fact that the Ravens had two 3,000-yard rushing seasons in a row. The third NFL team to ever have that reach that benchmark, and they did the last 2 years. Who was in charge of the run game? Matt Weiss. Who was in charge of the linebackers? McDonald. Either of these guys could have been promoted to defensive or offensive coordinator in the NFL, and no one would bat an eye, but Michigan fans, not all of you, probably a vocal minority of you, get really upset about it. And I just think these guys are highly qualified. These guys were ready to take on that action. Anyway, back to what Weiss said, and this is an important thing, talking about quarterbacks. I've been really impressed with the talent in the room. That certainly was a draw to come here. Cade is a guy who I think, for everything people are going to say, criticize him. He's a guy who's going to play 10 years in the NFL, because you can say he's not enough of this, enough of that, but at the end of the day, he's very smart, makes great decisions, he processes things very fast, and his accuracy and arm strength are more than enough to win with. He's a guy that's been awesome to work with. He's extremely valuable to our team as our starter. Love the fact that we have him. Talked a little bit about JJ, said that he's wise beyond his years. Talked about Dan Vellari having a bit of mobility, could really develop into a good player. I really enjoyed, I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to the In the Trenches podcast, listen to it, because Weiss comes off as really, really smart and really, you know, exactly what you would expect coming from the Ravens organization. I think one thing, and I haven't written about this yet, I'm going to write about it tomorrow, is him talking about bringing in the analytics. And like he says, I wouldn't say I specialize in it. John Harbaugh didn't specialize in it, but it's an untapped resource. They're working with computer science majors, math majors. They're got some NFL people who are helping coordinate, manage. They're trying to figure out how to work with the student body. I think it's pretty cool that it's like a modernization a little bit beyond that. And then on top of that, he talked about how much he feels like he's learned from Gattis already. And like he's brought up, like, hey, this is Gattis's offense. Not mine, it's Gattis's. But there's diversity of thought that we have now that we can work with. I think that's really good. I think that's what this team is needed. Offensively, defensively, diversity of thought. Because I don't think that that's existed before in recent years. And I think that's really hurt them. Now, it's one thing when you have diversity of thought, but it's just two butting heads. I think that was definitely, you know, Jed Fish, Tim Drevno, Pep Hamilton, Tim Drevno, Greg Fry. Common denominators there. Anyone with Don Brown, it's Don Brown's way or the highway. I think this is a really good situation for Michigan football. But we won't know for a long time. We got months. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. We will be back on Saturday with another podcast about something. I was going to do a mailbag, but I don't think I'm going to, because it just feels like it's too fresh. So we'll start up with that again next week. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.